Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Hello, you're back on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deb Wolf today, and we have a very special guest, Tracy Hotchner. We're going to be talking about all kinds of things today, including some of you have emailed about those naughty kitties who won't use the litter box. Yes, embarrassing, isn't it? You get a cat, you think a cat is self-training, and then why is your cat peeing and pooing all over the place? Why won't it use that litter box? Well, we're going to talk about that with Tracy, but we're also going to talk about some broader topics like, are carbohydrates nasty to feed your dogs and cats? Is there something evil about giving cats and dogs carbohydrates? Would they ever get it in the wild? It's kind of a question. You know, when a dog gets diagnosed with cancer or a cat, oftentimes right away the owner's told, get rid of all the carbs. So let's talk about that first. Welcome to the show, Tracy. It's great to have you on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
And great to have you too, Deborah. And boy, you hit that nail on the head. You really did go to the two big issues with carbs and dogs. And then with cats, it's actually more profound than change the diet once your dog has a life-threatening illness. With kitty cats, I have a radio show called Cat Chat on Sirius XM, and I know I have a lot of Canadian listeners, and you live in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia, so you're up in that northern neck of the woods, and a lot of people have heard me refer to carbs for cats as kitty crack. And that's because, just
crack.
Like you said, how would a cat find an ear of corn in the wild? Let me think about that. And 99% of the dry cat foods are corn-based. So think of fried Fritos, fried corn chips.
Yeah.
That's what that food is, which would be probably not even terrific for a chicken, but much more appropriate for a chicken than an obligate carnivore, which is what a cat is. I mean, by nature, by their species, by the way, if you will, excuse me, God made them, or just their lineage through lions and tigers and jaguars, they're only supposed to be eating meat. That's all their body can actually handle. So, yeah, for them, it really is nasty and evil, to the point that the only cause of type 2 diabetes in cats, that's not disease you get born with, which I've never actually heard of a cat being born with it, but the kind that people get as they get older and maybe they have bad genetically
overweight.
Or predisposed. But yes, exactly. Too much sugar, too much carbs, they get fat, they get diabetes. Same thing happens to cats eating carbs. So,
I want to ask you, though, when you say cats never eat or would never eat grain, barley, oats, corn in the wild, I agree with you there. But I do see, and I don't know if this tricks people, if it confuses the issue a little bit, my cats will definitely munch on flowers I have, you know, bouquets. They'll ruin my houseplants. They love herbs like lavender, sage, thyme, all the stuff I grow in the garden that comes in when I'm cooking. They'll be on the counter trying to get at it. You know, so there is some desire they have for eating
that's certainly an interesting point, but those aren't carbohydrates.
Those
carbohydrates
are
grains. And 99%, and again, I'm sort of throwing out the 99% today, the vast majority, if you had a list of plants that grow in your house or in the garden, are toxic to cats to the point of being deadly in the case of lilies and some other ones that look pretty to us that are deadly to cats. So letting your cats munch on your flower bouquets or on plants inside is not only annoying because it ruins your beautiful bouquet and costs you a lot of money, but it could be the death of them. So cats should be kept away from plants. You can grow some wheat grass for them, which is not a carbohydrate, even though it has the word wheat in it. And some cats, like some people, like to have greens. They just like their body wants a little bit of that kind of the salad after dinner type of idea, but they don't have a functional need for it. So the best thing to feed them.
So when it says wheatgrass or it says oatgrass on that stuff they sell at the cash register at the pet store, that's not really a grain?
No, of course not. It's a grass because
it's
if
grass.
It grew to the point where it went to seed,
seed,
right?
And then
it went
to
seed.
Seed, that would be a grain. And
well,
so
actually,
you're telling
the seed would have.
That the, So the cat food,
the seed would actually have.
And the problem with the commercial cat foods is that they're mostly grain, right? Is that kind of what you're trying to tell
people? Well, no, the real problem is that to make a dry food, it has to be carbohydrate-based. They have to make a paste of it, a dough like pasta, because it goes through an extruder, which is a machine like your homemade pasta machine, and then it has to be fried, baked, boiled, and then sprayed with these ingredients that they invent at millions of dollars of clever food science to spray it on the boiled, baked, fried triangles or circles or squares of highly processed carbs, and then the cat will eat it because of the secret addictive sauce. I call it sauce, but really it's a spray that goes on top of it. So the simple and clear answer is no carbohydrates for a cat because they're obligate carnivores. So you feed only from a can. And then you can use for treats, and it's wonderful for cats to have treats, especially after they play. And I'd love to talk to you at some point during our visit about how to play really constructively with a cat with a wand toy or a fishing pole toy, which has to end with the giving of a treat. And that treat needs to be protein. I actually have an official treat of my radio show's Dog Talk and Cat Chat, which is called Whole Life Pet. And they come in little bags, and they're freeze-dried, and they're human-grade and organic. And they come from the food supply side of humans. So the fish, the cat, the cod, and the salmon comes from fishermen who supply New England restaurants. And there's little pieces of cheddar cheese. They come from Vermont, where I live. And there's little sweet potato squares, better for a dog than a cat. And then there's chicken and chicken liver and turkey and beef liver and lamb liver. Every single one, if you and I were on a camping trip and we somehow lost our backpack in the water, we could eat those whole protein treats. And that's really the best treat for dogs or cats, is to reduce the carbs for dogs and to eliminate them for cats. And that's, of course, going against what you...
When cats live naturally, they eat mice, mostly. And inside the mouse, inside the intestines, is what they would need, right? Is that how they get it naturally?
Well, they don't actually ever eat the intestines of their
prey. So they're not even getting that. So really, they just eat meat. That's all they need.
Just meat. And then the missing thing, you can't just give them your own, chicken from dinner, because they do lack an amino acid called taurine, T-A-U-R-I-N-E. So a good, well, actually all canned cat foods put it in there. But a good one puts in really great high-quality protein, and then there's always taurine in it. So you can feed table type of food to a cat. I mean, it's fine to. It's just that they do need the taurine. So some part of their diet needs to be a commercially prepared canned food.
Okay, otherwise, we only have about a minute left. We're going to have to go to break soon. But when we come back, I want to follow up on that topic you introduced there. How do you play with a cat? Okay, you get a toy, something that allows your cat some distance so it doesn't scratch you, especially if you've got kids. And I think you said you give it a treat at the end. What do we do in the middle, right? So we're going to talk about
that. Very good question. I would love to at another point to talk about dogs and carbohydrates, because it is a different story. They're a different species. But if we have time, we'll get to that as well. Thanks,
we'll get to
Deborah.
Both those topics for sure today. No problem at all. We'll get to those topics. And if we have time, we'll talk about animal friendship here and there. So we've been talking to Tracy Hotchner. Stay tuned, and we'll have more on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend recommend Heart Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
Hello, you're back with Deb Wolf on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And my guest today is radio host and author Tracy Hotchner. And we were just talking about cats. We kind of led into two topics. First of all, you should not be feeding them grains. They should not be on dry food anymore. Tracy just explained all of that and why wet food is better and certain foods, better quality. So we were talking about that. And she talked a little bit about playing with cats. Now, I'm not sure which topic she wants to get to first, because we also talked about dogs. So we could either, Tracy, we could either go with playing with cats, or we can go with why dogs should not have so much grain in their diet. What would you like first?
I want to do what you want to do, and you seem pretty curious. How the heck do you play properly with a cat? And it's another really good question that people don't think to ask. They think, well, I'll get a fishing pole toy and then just wave it around.
Or so they throw a toy at the cat and they leave the room, which just kills me. Cats aren't going to play by themselves.
You're so right.
Yeah.
You're
okay.
So right.
There's even a commercial. You know what? There's a commercial on TV where Kelly Ripa walks into a busy house. The kids are all wild and crazy, and she's supposed to be super mom, and she sort of throws a pizza in the oven and does something with her dishwasher. It's all about the appliances. But then she walks into a room where there's this hyperactive border collie, and she tosses him a toy, and then she leaves the room. And I think, oh, my God, what is that room going to look like? Like, how could that possibly
be? That's funny. Yeah, what's the message? The message is just throw slices of pizza at everyone in your family, including the dog, and that should do it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, just like the border collie actually needs a job, because that's how his brain is wired, more than any other breed of dog that we use as pets, and I would almost say misuse as a pet. They really don't belong as a pet in a household. Their brain wiring is to herd, and they genuinely need 6 or 8 hours a day, on a brain level, on a genetic level, to be doing a physical job outside that has to do with herding. So having said that, cats are not these stationary, pretty statues that just sit there blinking and looking out the window. That's what we've reduced them to, and it's out of our laziness and our ignorance of not respecting that this is an animal which is one of the most serious hunters around. I mean, certainly anyone that looks on Animal Planet or any of those Nat Geos will see that the domestic cat hunts as well and as ferociously and is driven on a genetic level to hunt as much as any lion in the African jungle. So in order to give your cat a life in which he's not despairing, depressed, irritated, bored, annoyed, because when your cat is sitting there doing nothing, that's actually what his experience of his world is. It's really negative. That's assuming he's not being fed kitty crack and feeling really crummy being filled full of the wrong fuel in the Ferrari. So you have to enrich your cat's life.
I think most cats are so disappointed and bored.
Yes, they are. And what happens is you then get behavior problems of, you know, acting out that frustration against other cats, even against people when they go to pet them. Certainly sometimes against the furniture and even spraying and marking. These are all frustrations of the natural behavior. I had a wonderful animal behavior veterinarian who's head of that department at the University of Pennsylvania vet school. He was on Cat Chat recently, the show on Sirius, and also was on Dog Talk. So if anybody wants to hear him talk about this on a scientific level, the profound need for the cat to play, and play for a cat means hunt. It's the only thing that really means anything to a cat. It's all about practicing hunting and succeeding at hunting. So laser pointers almost fall in the category of cruel because there is no there there. It's an imaginary object. And the
I'm so glad you're bringing this up because I have a real problem with the laser or when kids take a mirror to the sun and they get dogs or cats to chase it. Because even though in that moment it's an innocent thing, that dog or that cat is now trained to chase light, which is a terrible thing at night when cars are going by. So I'm so
That's not actually what happens. You don't turn your dog or cat into a car chaser. What happens is you engage the part of the brain that's about hunting. And this really doesn't apply to dogs because the vast majority of household dogs are not profoundly hunters the way every single cat is. What it does is arouse that place in the cerebral cortex in the brain that's about seeking a prey, stalking a prey, and going after a prey, which is fundamental to a cat's well-being. And you don't pay it off with anything. So there's a toy called a Neko Flies, N-E-K-O Flies, which of all the wand or fishing pole toys that I have come across, I came across this one and was quite amazed and have shared it amongst a lot of the cat experts that come on the show for various things, some people that are Cat Fanciers Association and cat breeders and cat agility competitors. And the little toys on the end, it's a little plexiglass wand, very pretty, and there's a fishing line, if you will, and on the end are interchangeable objects. We call them toys, but to the cat, it's their prey. So there's one, and they move very realistically. One's like a little rodent. One is like a dragonfly. One is like a tarantula, a spider. Another is like a butterfly. And it's the way that you move that object at the end of the string, realistically, never towards the cat, always away from the cat. It flies a little. Not in the case of the mouse, in the case of the other one.
You know what? It reminds me, if people are listening and they're trying to picture this, it's so much like the way a fly fisherman or a fisherman who's trying to entice fish that moves the rod.
That's exactly right.
You know?
That's exactly right. And a bug would never go underwater and go chasing the fish. The fish would not be interested in that.
Yeah.
So the same thing with the cat. So what you need to do is not only do, and a cat's attention span for play, and I have this in the Cat Bible, but Dr. Siracusa from University of Pennsylvania confirmed it on the show, is about 5 minutes. So you need several hours a day to give proper exercise to your Border Collie or your Labrador or most large dogs. But a cat just needs 2 or 3 5-minute wand toy sessions. But the end of the session, after you play, for these just few minutes, make it realistic, become the mouse, become and great for children, too, who have a better imagination than us. At the end, you have to let the cat win. Otherwise, you leave your cat in a state of arousal and frustration, and you walk away. Like that scene you're talking about, like throw him a toy and leave the room.
Yeah,
when you
I
play
just
with
hate
the wand
that
toy,
honestly. It is so bad.
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't speak to the animal's real nature or real needs.
No,
so
not
you
at all.
Have to finish it by letting them catch the toy and then release it in order to get this protein treat, which is the only healthy treat for a cat, this one made of pure protein. Now, you can use a little piece of your own cheese or your own chicken or even little bits of lunch meat. It doesn't have to be, you know, a whole life.
Like, what about the things you don't want to eat, like the skin off your chicken or the fattier bits or the skin off your fish? Is that stuff you can give them?
Well, you know, the skin off the fish, depending on how good the fish is when you bought it, that is to say, you know, from nice, clean waters, you'd hope so, you're eating the fish too. I myself cut those pieces of skin up and put them in with the vegetables that I boil up for my dogs. You could do it with a cat, but, you know, it's a tiny little stomach the size of not even a quarter. It can't fit much in there. I certainly wouldn't do chicken skin because that much fat is probably not a great idea. But pieces of chicken meat or beef meat, little bits of it, make a great treat, and protein for a cat is what is their fuel. And anything else is really harmful to them.
Well, I think sometimes we lump cats and dogs together with kids, and we sort of think they all have the same needs, which is really interesting because cats are so, so, so different than dogs and people, really, biologically.
They certainly are. And one of the problems is that a lot of pet food companies and even people that live with cats think of them as a little dog. But, of course, they're not like a little dog on any level. It's a completely different species that has totally different needs for stimulation, for interaction, and particularly for nutrition. So
okay, everybody,
really deserve
we only have
a lot more
minute
respect.
Left. I'm afraid I have to cut you off a little bit, Tracy. We've just got the cue that we're running out of time on this segment, but we're going to come back because we didn't deal with dogs. Now, some people out there are shaking their heads thinking they always fed their dog dry dog food from a bag, same brand, every dog they've ever had their whole life. Okay, let's come back to All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Tracy Hotchner as my guest today, and we'll find out why maybe you should rethink that.
Now you can walk and exercise your pet no matter what your condition using the bike toe leash. There is nothing like the bike toe leash. It easily attaches to bicycles, electric scooters, and other mobility equipment. It acts like an extra left arm to communicate and to control your pet in the healing position. You can install it in minutes. The bike toe leash is recommended by trainers and used by owners and working dog handlers of all kinds. So now you can get out and have fun and exercise your pet very safely. Go to our website, www.allpawspettalk.com, and go to the sponsor page and hit the bike toe leash banner or call toll-free 857-245-3364. That number once again, toll-free 857-245-3364.
Back with Deb Wolf on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And Tracy Hotchner's my guest today. She's an author and radio show host. And we're just going right for the substance. We're not going to talk about why she likes dogs or cats or why she got into it. No, 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 no. We want to give you what you need. And today, what you need to know is why that bag of dog food sitting in the corner of the kitchen is maybe toxic. What's going on with the dogs and the grain and the dog food, please, Tracy? Let me know.
I will let you know. First of all, if it's in the corner of your kitchen and you've dumped it into some sort of metal container or just left it in the bag and it's been open for more than 3 weeks, it is genuinely toxic because it's probably rancid. If you've gotten a high-quality food where you said, but wait a minute, I'm getting a good brand, the good brands do not have a preservative in them that will last more than 3 weeks once the oxygen hits the food. So that's A. You shouldn't open a bag that you can't finish in 3 weeks. That's A, which nobody thinks of. Oh, I'm going to get the big 40-pound bag. That'll save me trips to the supermarket. Let me just make it clear about the supermarket. If I ever hear of, learn of, am told of a dry food for dogs at the supermarket that has top-quality ingredients, I will embrace it. I will stand in the aisle and sell it myself. Right now, that's not the case. Right now, those foods have extremely low-quality ingredients, the refuse of the human food chain. Animals and protein sources that are rendered because many of them were diseased, dying, infected, picked up off the side of the road. There are actually euthanized shelter pets in those rendered meals that go into the lower-end pet foods in a bag. That's allowed by the U.S. government. So I'm not telling you something that's a secret.
That's horrible.
It's just one that, of course, is kept from you because the bags look so pretty and those multi-million dollar ads on TV look so pretty. But when you have corn or corn byproducts anywhere in the food, much less in the first one, two, or three ingredients, you're talking about a feed that's basically a feedlot feed for something like a farm animal. It doesn't belong in a dog. So let's say you get to
you
the higher quality kibble.
You know what else I just want to point out right while you're talking about this? When you look on the back, and you always should, look, turn it over. If you need a magnifying glass or glasses, bring them. Read the ingredients. When you look at the order matters. Okay, the first things are the things that are the most. The things at the bottom, the least. So the first five to six things, that's what the food is. Now, if they break up an ingredient, they can trick you. So they can have corn listed three different ways and list it
that's
lower
right.
down. And so you really got to be smart at your labels. And I find that difficult. How do you overcome the marketing and the packaging and the all natural and the, you know, plus.
Right, because the word natural.
Probiotics.
The word natural
is a
very dangerous word. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, arsenic is natural. you know. So, yes, you're absolutely right. You have to look at it. And my website, thedogbible.com, has lots of blogs and Q&As. You can buy the book or you can just go on the website. There's a wonderful website called Dog Food Advisor. Not the Dog Food Advisor, but just Dog Food Advisor. And this wonderful human dentist has actually done a study of all the dry foods on the market and given them a rating, like a odometer in a car. Very, very clever guy. So right on the issue that you're talking about, you know, how much protein, how much carb, and what's the quality. So
okay, so we've decided we're not going to use the dog food bag that's in the corner of the room that's probably spoiled anyway. Now what?
Right, we're going to get rid of that. We're going to give it to a shelter if it's really just at least basically okay. You're going to only get, we're talking about full-size dogs. Small dogs don't require any kibble at all. Big dogs, anywhere from 50 to north of 100 pounds, need about a third of their meals should be a high-quality kibble because it fills them up, it satisfies them, and it gives them the energy that they need because carbs can be very good if they're quality carbs, which the quality dry foods use. But you do need to take it out of the bag and put it into a completely sealed container that's something like a BPA-free plastic. There's a company called Gamma 2, G-A-M-M-A, and the number 2, and I keep the raw dehydrated food that I use called the Honest Kitchen in one, and I keep the Halo kibble in the other because Halo uses no rendered meats at all. It uses real meat in the kibble, not rendered meal, which would include all those gross things that I just mentioned. So you need to get only enough for 3 weeks' worth, depending on how much your dog will eat, and a 100-pound dog should not get more than a cup at each meal. Now, the bag says something like 8 to 10 cups. It's one cup maximum because it's only going to be like a side dish, like pasta or rice or potatoes. The other third should be some kind of meat, meat in a can, meat that you've cooked up. It could also be scrambled eggs, cottage cheese, anything that's a protein source, and mix it up. Make it different. Get different brands. One meal for my dogs is always meatless. I think it's lighter on the planet. And that one is cottage cheese and scrambled eggs in the equivalency of about half a can of meat. And then the other part should be vegetables. And you can either get raw dehydrated ones. You can make pots of your own vegetables on thedogbible.com. I explain how to do it, and you freeze them in baggies. Or, sometimes people will have dogs that will eat enough raw vegetables to make up a third of it, and you can use them as little snacks.
As treats, yeah. You know, every time I do a show like this and someone recommends cooking for your dogs or a raw diet, people send me emails saying, oh, it's so much work and it's so expensive. And no, it's not. It's not expensive and it's not a lot of work. You get used to it. And it is actually way cheaper and way easier. And you find you're throwing out far less food. And it's just easier. I mean, there's so many things. I can just name a couple. Probably you can too. Yams. Dogs love yams. Most dogs love apples and melons and berries, blueberries. Dogs love blueberries.
Yep.
They love a lot of things. It's not like this is not tricky. You know, if you don't want to have raw foods around, maybe someone in your family has an immune problem or you've got little kids who are sort of crawling around the floors and kissing the dogs and you're worried about it. Well, or elderly people in your home. Well, then just cook it. Throw it in a big stew pot, slow cooker, and, you know, meat and veg, and you'll be good, right?
Absolutely, but you can't cook your dog's dinner without, again, supplementation. You can't just home cook because it will be unbalanced. And dogs' need for calcium is enormous.
Their need for fat
is enormous. I mean, we should talk maybe sometime soon about omega-3 fatty acids, about fish oil, and the vital necessity for dogs to have fat. A fat-free diet or a low-fat diet is so unhealthy for a dog. And if your dog's overweight, your dog needs more fat, less carbs, and you think, wait a minute, and I just want to remind you of those fat-free cakes in the aisle. You see very fat people buying them going, I can eat this cake, it's fat-free. Honey, it is so full of chemicals and additives and tons of highly processed carbohydrates. And the same thing goes for older dogs that slow down or dogs gaining weight. Giving fat in the diet, high-quality fat, particularly from fish oil, could also be olive oil, could be some high-quality chicken fat, beef fat, if you've cooked some food for them. That fat actually helps the body process, the dietary fat helps them process the fat in their own body and burn it, and it also makes them less hungry. When you take all the fat out of a Labrador Retriever's diet, he will steal your lunch. It's the fat which
you'll fill your lunch anyway if he's a Labrador Retriever, but I get what you're saying. Okay, everybody, we have about 1 minute left in this segment. We're coming back to All Paws Pet Talk Radio again with Tracy Hotchner. We're going to talk a little more. And I want to find out about this, though. This seems, I got to tell you, I mean, I'm hearing you, but it seems counterintuitive. If I'm overweight, I should have more fat in my diet. I'm not quite getting you here. My grandmother would.
Okay, when we come back, just think Dr. Atkins. When we come back, South Beach Diet, Dr. Atkins.
Okay, well, we'll be talking about that in a woof meow kind of way. And I hope in the next segment we can get to cats who don't use the litter box. Are they not
sure,
a kitty?
Sure, absolutely.
Are they? Is it their fault? Is it the owner's fault? What's going on here? And, you know, right away you got to get your cat checked by a vet to make sure there isn't something wrong if this is a change, something sudden. Oh, the cat was always good. Now all of a sudden he can't make it. Well, or he's urinating or having accidents somewhere. You know, that's something else. But, well, if it's not a medical problem, I think we can talk about it today. Okay, everybody, stay tuned to All Paws Pet Talk Radio. I'm your host, Deb Wolf. We'll be back with Tracy Hotchner in a second. Stay tuned.
Itchy dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But Doggy Goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try Doggy Goo. Your dog will Doggy Goo look it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426 or on the web www.healthygoo.com. Goo spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it.
Radio, and I'm your host, Deb Wolf. And with me today is Tracy Hotchner. I'm having a good time. I got my thinking cap on. I'm learning stuff along with you, I hope. And we just covered, I don't know, it seems a little bit odd, but if you're fat, you need to eat more fat. Okay, Tracy, let us have it.
Okay, you've sort of taken the idea of a low fat diet being bad for you as add more fat. The point is, don't take away good dietary fat from a fat dog. That dog needs the fat because fat is essential to life. Dogs actually have a high need for calcium and for fat in their diet. What's made them fat isn't fat. What makes humans fat is not fat. It's carbohydrates. It's sugar. It's when you put highly processed carbs in our bodies, whether it's donuts, chips, bread, pizza, the things that we Americans in particular eat vast quantities of, it is not the fat that has made us fat. It is the carbs. And the same thing is true for the dogs. So these light, L-I-T-E dog foods that are supposed to be a diet food
are filled with even more... I see them do it cruel. According to age. Their dog gets to be 8 or 9, and boom, they switch into the light formula.
Never. The senior food in a bag has less nutrition. It's like saying, well, your granny's old. Put her at the end of the table and let her have the end piece of the beef. And
it's worse. It's let her have the crust of the bread and the moldy mashed potatoes. That's what she gets.
Because she won't know. She's old anyway.
She
it's
has
exactly
no energy.
Like
who
that.
Cares? Put her in the corner.
That's
and we'll
right.
Give her some potatoes
exactly.
And bread.
So here's what our old dogs need and our fat dogs need. Of course, our young dogs too. More quality protein, less highly processed carbs. Dr. Atkins' diet was totally debunked for humans back when he first got it out there. And it's gone round and round and round in the scientific community. And in the end of the day, a high protein with a reasonable amount of fat diet with reduced carbohydrates is the diet that keeps you slender. That's, again, assuming you don't have some metabolic disorder. And fat people don't all have a thyroid condition, Deborah. We know this. They have a Dunkin' Donuts problem. And that's because our society tells them, eat fried stuff.
Get me in
eat
trouble.
Highly processed stuff. Yeah. So it's the same thing with the dog.
You know, I sometimes play a little game with myself when I'm somewhere ordering something. Like I'm at a Starbucks or someplace like that. And I will look at the lineup and look at the people and try and guess their order by their body shape. And normally, I'm right. You know, really, the person that's going to order extra whipped cream, double macchiato, frappuccino, this, that, and the other, that person is usually not very slim. And the person ordering the, you know, chai tea is usually fairly slim. And you can't
help. The same thing goes for the dogs. If they're feeding their dogs high-quality protein, and it doesn't cost more money because, first of all, they're not fat, so they're going to lose their fat because feeding protein helps the body actually utilize and burn the body fat that's been accumulated. And if one of the meals can be a protein that's inexpensive, cottage cheese, ricotta, scrambled eggs is the cheapest, best-quality protein you can give a dog. My dogs eat it for one of their meals every day. So, and that's got quote-unquote cholesterol, which is irrelevant to dogs, by the way. Doesn't mean a thing.
And cats, right? So cats don't get heart disease.
There's no such thing. In fact, somebody wrote in to me or called in once and talked about their vet having checked their cat's cholesterol. I'm like, oh, that's a new one on me. There's another costly blood test, a waste of the customer's money.
That's terrible, really.
Yeah. Now, you wanted to know about outside the litter box issues.
Yes, I do. But just before we get to that, I want to ask you, okay, we're talking about dogs and their diet and everything else. And since we're about to go to the litter box, why do dogs want to eat cat poo out of the litter box? I know there's people out there who want to know this. Why? Because I know when you got a dog baiting it, you got
things,
a cat who won't use it. You got a mutual problem here, right? Sometimes.
Yeah, but the answer to that is it doesn't matter why. It's to make it inaccessible. We don't really care why they think that's the most delicious after-dinner brownie in the world. It's simply gross. Oh, there was one more thing that I wanted to say about fat, which was about fish oil being the really great source of dietary fat for dogs and for us, by the way. The omega-3 fatty acids are being studied at such a fast rate for brain, heart, muscle. Every part of our body and our brain needs omega-3 fatty acids, and the diets we eat, no matter if we eat healthy, health food, or, you know, however careful we are what we eat, there's too many omega-6s and 9s in our diet. You know, one has to study this in science class and take the quiz. Just remember this. Omega-3s do not occur naturally in our diet unless we're eating one can of sardines a day. Because even if you're eating salmon or one of the really fatty fishes, mostly it's farm-raised. So it really does change the balance of fat to flesh in its body. You need to get it from a quality fish oil. And for yourself, you know, you be really careful. It has to be real fish body oil or real fish liver oil, not some other kind of oil with some fish ingredients, as I've seen them on one bottle. What in God's name is a fish ingredient? That's scary.
You know, I have these shark liver oil pills and other fish oil pills that are human-grade quality, and I was given them by the person who produces it in the Queen Charlotte Islands. So it's cold water and all the things you want and fresh.
Right.
And the dogs will eat it like a treat. The first time I give it to them, I poke it with a pin, and they can smell it. And then from then on, they just gobble them up like treats. But for me, if I take this pill, and it's in a little gelatin capsule, no matter how much I eat after or when I take it, I taste fish all day. So I can't do it.
I am so glad you're telling me this story. It's very important that you know this.
Good.
You said something
it's a
about
yucky story.
Pricking the capsule and the dogs can smell it. The fish oil in the capsules is rancid, absolutely.
Oh.
And I don't know where those are made, but the reason I always say Nordic Naturals is it's from ice-cold waters from a country, Norway, that has a fish oil industry. There's not much else they're doing up there in Norway. The government and the industry in how they fish, it's ecologically correct. It's small-bodied fish. It's triple-filtered. It's third-party tested. A good fish oil has zero odor and zero repeat. If it repeats in you, it is old, crummy oil. That is simply a fact of digestion. So it's very important.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Okay, well, then I'm
rancid oil. Rancid oil is full of free radicals, which I always used to think was a political thing, but it's actually, I'm kidding, it's a dietary thing. Free radicals are so bad in your body. They do all kinds of cellular damage, and rancid oil is one of the things that sets off that chain. So you need to get very clean omega-3 fish oil, or omega-3 fatty acid in the form of marine lipids, which is the fancy word for fish oil, but not just anyone will do. And I go to a company, and I do this with a lot of the companies that I recommend, that only does one thing. They only do that one thing. They just make 25 different versions of fish oil. In fact, there's one that you would love, the one I take, because I hate big capsules. It dissolves in water. They've got the technology to dissolve fish oil so it becomes a frothy kind of citrus drink. And the whole dosage of the fish oil is in there, which is a miracle. They have one for children. They're like chewable, tasty little things.
So should we be looking for something specific? Like, I know when I get probiotics or some other types of things, I have to make sure it's been refrigerated, or that, like you were sort of indicating about the plastic gel, you know, that it shouldn't be that way. Can you tell us, like, is it a glass jar, and then is it a pill, and then is it in the fridge?
Excellent question. If it's in a capsule, now you were taking capsules that made you burp, so what's inside the capsule was rancid, guaranteed. But generally speaking, made properly in the right conditions, meaning ice cold, purity, blah, 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 the capsule itself seals it from oxygen. Oxygen is the enemy of oil, all oil, but particularly fish oil, which is very volatile. It can go off very easily. So the capsule is completely encapsulated. Otherwise, they sell it, or you can get it. I'm sure there's other really good from Northern Europe. I don't know what the companies are, but I only know this one for absolutely sure. That's all they do. And they have an American company, and they have lots of American employees. They're in Watsonville, California. So it's not like, you know, you have no idea where it's coming from. It must be a dark glass bottle, dark, so no light can enter, and opened, must be refrigerated. The biggest no-no for fish oil for dogs, and I had to learn this the hard way, was if a company sells you fish oil, which several of them do, because I've bought it myself, in a large plastic pump bottle, each time you pump air into the oil,
it goes back in, even
more rancid. So a company that's selling it that way knows nothing about fish oil, nothing. They're actually doing the worst possible thing you can do with fish oil. Keep it on a counter in plastic where it can interact with the plastic. That's why a good company uses dark glass. And then you're pumping air into it. It's rancid. It'd be much better to do nothing. So those companies frustrate me because people think, well, how convenient. Hey, I did it myself. And it doesn't matter even if you belatedly refrigerate it, because it shouldn't be in plastic. Fish oil should not be in plastic, and you shouldn't be able to pump it. You have to pour it or get it in a capsule. So that's the fish oil story.
Okay, so we're getting to the litter box story. We'll probably run out of time this segment and have to go over, but that's all right. With the litter box, now we're going to get it out of reach of the dogs. Sometimes that means you need to build a shelf, and you might be saying, well, I don't want to do that. Well, actually, if you do that, if you build a ramp and a shelf, even a bookshelf, and you put the cat litter box up there, your cat now has a whole new world. If you felt like you didn't give your cat enough space, then, oh, I've just been given the cue. We've run out of time. We're going to be talking about this in the next segment. Hold on. Stay tuned to All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deb Wolf and Tracy Hotchner.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
On All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And you know, you can find me, Deborah Wolf, Pet Expert, on Facebook. Or you can check out all the dogs who come to Camp Good Dog on Facebook, Camp Good Dog. Plus, you can see my YouTube videos all free. Just go to Deborah Wolf on YouTube and you can see me training dogs and some cats and kittens too. Different things we post. So check it out. And in the meantime, let's talk to Tracy some more. I want to know, Tracy. First of all, you talked about diet and how it improves skin and coat and this kind of stuff. But what do you do when you've got an itchy, scratchy dog, cat? You change the diet, but I know it takes 4 to 6 weeks sometimes. So, like, what is there a cream or an ointment? Is there something you can do? When I've tried oatmeal baths for some of my animals when they're just miserable and they're just itchy, 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 some of my customers. You know, sometimes they get hot spots, and those are tricky. What do you recommend?
The first thing I recommend is to not get a blood test. This is one of my, you have your pet peeves. My pet peeve is people come into the vet, the dog is scratching and itching, and here's the two things. Must be a food allergy. Okay, 5 to 10% of allergies in dogs are caused by food, and they never, ever exhibit in the skin. They exhibit in gastrointestinal problems. So forget about running for the hills from chicken or changing your food, or heaven forbid, do not buy one of those vet-prescribed diets that's supposedly about itchy skin. Your dog's
food. When I see a young, healthy dog put on this diet that's sort of like Boost for the hospital patient human, you know, it's like got nothing in it, and it won't irritate, but there's nothing wrong with the dog, and they think they're doing the best because they bought it at the vet, and that's hospital
You're
food.
You're so right.
What
well, obviously, we obviously are like-minded folks, because there's people that'll a guy that got a guide dog. What's greater than a guide dog, right? I mean, $40,000 goes into the breeding and the training and the selection, and they go home with one of the vet prescribed sensitive stomach diets for a yellow lab. I never met a yellow lab with a sensitive stomach, but I'll tell you, what's in that food is what we were talking about earlier, like the worst corn and powdered cellulose, which is sawdust, no quality ingredient. And this poor little puppy didn't even have a chance for its bones to grow yet. Well, so the point is that elimination diet, you only do for an animal who has digestive problems to find out if they're digestively reactive to a food.
Like,
so therefore, it's got to be environmental.
Well, let's just say it would be constipation, diarrhea, bloating, stomach pain. It would not be itchy, scratchy, right?
Correct. Correct. And I'm itchy, scratchy myself and have developed it later in life. And that's one of the things that people understand about dogs, whether it's a toy poodle or a bull mastiff. They can suddenly become itchy, scratchy, and you say, oh, it can't be allergies to something in the environment because they weren't like this before. But how allergies work is your immune system is constantly challenged by this irritant that causes the histamine reaction. Histamine is itchy, scratchy. Or in my case, some dogs, drippy nose, scratchy eyes, red eyes, in dogs that you can see it in their ears as well. That's just something external. Some dogs, it's the actual grasses, the actual trees. When I first looked into this, I thought, that's impossible. How can dogs be allergic to grass? Well, they can. How can I be allergic to grass? I am. So I get
shots. Oh, I've seen dogs allergic to cedar. You know the cedar dog beds? Some dogs are allergic to those.
Yep, not all, absolutely. So what you need to do, you can't remove all environmental allergies. It's impossible, even for people if you had to. So what do people do? They don't get a blood test because your blood doesn't show an allergy, but a skin test does. There's only, I think, 200 vet-certified dermatologists in the country. So what if you don't live near one? Likely you do not. And what if you don't want to spend upwards of $500 to $1,000 to be skin tested, only to be told that your dog is allergic to the top five things that dogs are allergic to? You kind of know that already. Your dog is scratching and itching and driving you and himself crazy. So then you could go to allergy shots like I as a human do, which thank God my insurance covers, but that's unlikely that most people live near that vet dermatologist, want to put in that amount of money or have that money to put in, or the amount of time. It takes quite a long time, sometimes years, before those shots work, and you have to go on a weekly basis or a biweekly basis. It's a huge commitment of time and money. I recently discovered this product, which is developed by one of those 200 vet dermatologists, whose name is Dr. Kristen Holm. And I actually had her on my shows because I thought, okay, the product's called Doggy Goo. That sounds really funny, really odd, but this woman is University of Pennsylvania educated. She has her own dermatology practice in, I think, Des Moines or some place, a vowel state as I call it, somewhere, some very nice, normal, all-American place. And it's this 100% natural goo that's made from peanut butter, which apparently every dog in the world loves peanut butter, and that's why they call it goo. And these ingredients do the same thing as an allergy shot. They basically calm the immune system. So the dog licks the peanut butter, and it doesn't work in a day or a week, but it can work within weeks, just like allergy shots can. And basically, once the dog starts to be an itchy, scratchy dog, bathing in oatmeal is good. But again, you can't give too many baths because it really strips
the
skin.
Oh, and what a pain for a cat. What a pain.
A total pain. A total pain. And not only that, but they can still scratch to the point of getting hot spots, which then get infected. The other thing that makes me berserko is the steroid injections. And you as a dog trainer have probably had dogs come to you that the people said were suddenly aggressive and they were acting differently, and the people never were told that a steroid injection gives you roid rage. You become wackadoo.
That's what it is. They would fight over food or things that fell that weren't even food that the dog thought might
be food. Right.
And I get that with dogs on prednisone also, that they're just walking vacuum
Which
cleaners.
Is the same thing. It's steroid.
Yeah.
And these are things people aren't told. So, yeah, it does calm down inflammation, but it's a Band-Aid. It's an emergency Band-Aid. What you really need is to get the immune system back in balance because it's wigging out over what it's either breathing in or touching. Pollen from trees, the grass. Then, of course, the trick is that if you get an immune system like mine, like someone who has allergies that have gone on for a long time without being treated, or a dog that gets itchier and itchier and itchier, anything that is a dust-borne particle becomes something which irritates the dog. So even dust, like just dust. So this is like, oh, great, my dog's allergic to the air. Well, kind of. So the amazing thing about this goo that the dog licks up, and you can only really go by testimonials because veterinarians would much rather have you in their office for a $300 to $500 blood test and shots or cortisone or prednisone tablets or antihistamines. You can only go on whether people have bought it and tried it and it worked. And I went on their website and I looked, and there's lots of real live people saying, you know, it's the first time my dog hasn't been itching and scratching to death. So I was thrilled to find it. I mean, of course,
you know what?
I
can't wait to try it. I had them on the show before, and I asked them to send me some, and it never came. So I'm still waiting for my dog to do.
You're funny you should say that, because I actually personally want to try it. I would love to not have to have shots. It's not made for humans, but it's all human grade. I mean, the skin is the skin. We're all just similar creatures. I'm curious to try it too.
I want to talk to you about cropping and decline, because I've never spoken to you before on radio, and it's something I like to bring up with guests because I want people to know that, you know, some people believe in it, some people don't. I certainly don't. So where do you stand on decline cats and cropping and the sort of cosmetic surgeries for dogs?
I stand very, very, very vigorously in your corner. Declawing a cat is a mutilation of the cat's feet. It was not only stopped being taught in vet school, but the American Veterinary Medical Association, which tends to support anything a vet wants to do, now has said to not do it. It causes so much physical harm to the cat. You aren't removing their nails. You're cutting off the whole first joint of every toe with basically like a garden clipper.
Okay, you know what, Tracy? I left it too late. We only have 1 minute left. I'm glad you said that. People can find out more about you and more on what you think from TracyHotchner.com, TracyHotchner.com. And there will be links from All Paws Pet Talk Radio. You can find her pretty easily through us. But I'm so glad you came on the show today. It was great. Thank you so much for coming
on
All Paws
Pet Talk. Hey, Deb, guess what? I want to have you as a guest on my shows. We see so many things eye to eye. I'm going to have you on Dog Talk and Cat Chat. We'll have a really good time.
Well, I
Thanks
love the
a
topics.
Lot, sweetie.
You know what? And I want to encourage people who are listening to us talking about training cats, just go on YouTube or Google, find some videos. You can see cats doing agility, which is basically stalking prey, but they love it. They love it, and they're so good at it.
That's right.
You set up a little course in your own house with homemade stuff your kids make. You'll love it. Okay, everybody, so come back to All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and I'll have Tracy back, and I guess I'll be joining her on her shows. All right, everyone, be good to your animals.
And anytime you're near,